and welcome to episode 69 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the show where creators from small press and beyond talk about this wonderful medium we all love and sometimes learn things at the same time. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mass from Mars, and this week I'm joined by the creator of the brilliant superpowered webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Writer, Down the Tubes contributor, and furry enthusiast, Tony Esmond.
When you said to me, is it all right if I say this introduction, I thought that's a full center there. He's going to include something else. I'm glad you include the furries. I like furries. Yeah. I was talking about them today, actually, funny enough.
Lovely. Well, yeah. It's good to have a hobby. Yeah. And we're also joined by the man behind such titles as Banal Pig, the Comely Girls and Manly Boys Annuals, which I love, and the new and quite brilliant Untitled Apes Epic Adventure, Steve Tillotson.
Hello. Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've got right. A whole gang this week, and we're all ready to go. I've got a cup of tea. What's it? I'm properly rock and roll. I am. You know
what I mean? To be fair, you were telling me about your drunken exploits on Friday night.
Yeah, you were saying about that, weren't you? Yeah.
Let's do that offline. Yeah.
One night in Vince, you're calling it, aren't you?
Oh, for God's sake. It's already started wrong, and we haven't even gotten to the saucy subject this week. But before we do that, we've just got to mention, there's a big bit of news that everyone must know about now, if you like comics, and that was the passing of Steve Dillon, which is very sad.
Yeah.
Do you want to say
that's really bad.
Yeah, I think most people out there have had some sort of experience with his work in one way or another. For me, personally, it's a shock. It was just out of the blue. I don't know if there was any... There was no lead up to it, was there, really?
No.
I mean, he hadn't been looking well for a while, I think. Mm. And I know I'd heard that he'd stopped drinking. But like I say, we only talked about him last week because I saw him at New York. I got to say hello to him, and he was sort of busy sketching at the Hero Initiative table. Yeah, absolutely out of the blue. I mean, everyone to a man was completely gutted by it, weren't they?
Yeah. And it comes at a point where he was really sort of building up momentum in terms of his comic output again, wasn't he? He was really more work was coming out.
Punisher.
Yeah,
he was doing the Scarlet Witch. You know, the odd issue of the Scarlet Witch at the same time as doing the Punisher, and I say the pay is killing it on the Punisher at the moment. It's looking really good.
Yeah. That's with Becky Cloonan, isn't it? Isn't that with Becky Cloonan?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise writer for me, but I have to say, by about issue two, she really got a hold of it, and I'm really enjoying it. Yeah.
So it's very sad news. What would you say is, I bet I know what most people's obvious highlight is, but out of Steve Dillon's work, what would you say for you is the personal best?
I'll kick off. There was a couple of tweets with people showing off various pages and bits of artwork, and there was a lot that I hadn't realised I'd read over the years.
His dread is marvellous.
It's brilliant.
Really good.
There's one where it's kind of dread's consoling a shot or down giant Judge Giant, and it's just like, oh fucking hell, I didn't realise that was him. But there's one panel someone's tweeted, and it's of Orlok, the Sov assassin, and he's kind of doing an escape routine of running across this kind of industrial kind of landscape, and the pacing of the panels, it starts off relatively slim and then big on the right as Orlok comes from the distance into the foreground, and it's really well done. It shows such a mastery. And this was done years ago.
The story is, and I think that he started drawing for, I think, Marvel UK when he was 16, didn't he? Straight away, you know, incredibly accomplished. I think it was Hulk comic. He drew some Hulk stories, and I think he drew some Nick Fury.
Didn't he do the Hulk when it was like 16 or something like that? It was like 16 or 18. He started very, very young doing the Hulk, I think.
Yes, I think it was 16, And it was the Hulk Weekly, you know, when they sort of relaunched it and had the Black Knight in it and Captain Britain appeared in it and stuff like that. And it sort of had quite a sort of big English British contingent in it. I remember that. And, you know, just as a kid, it didn't really strike me because art didn't strike me as much at a younger age. And I think it was more... Then I remember he did Blake 7 Monthly, which I really liked his stuff in that. And that's when I first noticed him as an artist. And then I think I saw him in Warrior. He did Axel Press Button and Laser Eraser. And I think he did the cover to the first issue, was it, I think, of Warrior?
With the guy with the big knife on his arm.
Yeah, that's him, yeah. Axel Press Button. And he had a button on his chest. If you pressed it, he did a sex wee. robot one.
quite apt for this week.
I mean, but consistent, so consistent. I mean, I don't think anyone does facial acting as well as him.
No,
I think certainly, you know, I think he did an issue with Spider-Man a few years ago, and where Aunt May just tells him that she'd guessed he was Spider-Man and has known for years, and the acting, it's just two people talking in, you know, on the park bench, incredible, just incredible. And then Preacher and Constantine, you know, Hellblazer, just amazing stuff.
I mean, you know, as well as Punisher. Frank is fucking amazing.
Oh, yes. God. Yeah. Those 12 issues are just brought the Punisher back, didn't it, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and then he came back to it with Jason Aaron, didn't he? Which was very good as well, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. So, very sad news. He will be missed, I think, for quite some time.
Absolute shame. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, with Preacher coming to such prominence on TV and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, very sad loss.
And if if you go to Down the Tubes, I was complimenting John on it just about an hour before we came on. Absolutely brilliant piece he wrote about it. Really, really good. Yeah, really loved it. Yeah, a little bit of a history of him. Yeah.
Cool, I'll check that one out.
I think John got him to do some Absalon Dark stuff, which, of course, appeared a couple of years ago on Doctor Who, didn't it? A little flashed image of Absalon Dark by Steve appeared on an episode, I think.
Oh, really?
Blimey.
Yeah.
Check you out, Tony. Blimey. So very sad news.
That's 2016 for you.
Yeah.
It seems to be the
worst year ever.
Yeah. Oh dear, it's just going to get worse from here, isn't it, really? It's bad enough already.
It's almost Christmas,
Yeah, yeah. But however, let's bring the mood up. Last week's episode was all about the current state of comic conventions, which involved a lot of people giving us their wonderful opinions and people getting involved and everyone. You know, thank you for all the good feedback we had on the episode.
Yeah, some great feedback. We're really pleased.
Yeah. Obviously, stepping into a new direction for the band is, you know, we've gone into an electro movement rather than our thrash rock.
We've got a bit of prog.
Yeah, because some of our shows do run pretty long.
Have a lot of key changes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but thank you to everyone that got involved. And, some brilliant subjects. We'll come back to it at some point. But I know, Steve, you want to say, you've got something to say about it, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean,
run a couple of conventions, right? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I mean, back in the day, a few, I think it was like 2011, 2012, me and Hugh Rain put on the Leeds Alternative Comics Fairs, and they were just really straightforward, really, they were basically just us putting on an event for free in a pub. You know, we didn't charge the exhibitors anything. We didn't charge people to come in. And it was really, it was just really easy, really straightforward. And we had a really good day. And basically, the sort of theory behind it was we just had a few really good tables. So there was never more than about sort of 15 people there. But the theory behind it was that if a couple of hundred people come, then because it is so small and curated, and we knew that the quality was there, people would spend time at each table and, you know, really get a good experience. And again, the exhibitors got to sort of spend quality time with each person that was there. And because it was in a pub, you know, people are coming off the street, because it was free, you know, it was in a sort of hipster type pub in Leeds. So there was plenty of that sort of person that we want to get interested in comics. But yeah, it went really well. And that's the sort of point of it, really. These sort of small events are quite easy to do, you know. And I think it was Alan Henderson made the point about sort of punters per exhibitor or punters per table.
Oh, Dan Mallier from Leamington Comics.
Yeah, he was saying you need so many so that the people at the table will make a few quid, you know, or pass the mark they need, yeah.
And that's the thing I kind of think about Thought Bubble. I mean, Thought Bubble's amazing, but there's a lot of tables. And do you get that many punters per table? You know, it's sort of not just Thought Bubble, but I suppose all the huge conventions, you know.
Yeah.
And especially when there's a number of different niches in each convention and people are there for different niches, you know, it kind of, the bigger you get, the harder it is to kind of concentrate that towards your audience, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I came up to Leeds to your. I came up to one of them actually, if not two, I can't remember now actually, Steve. But the what you did there is you combined a social gathering centre that a pub is, you know, with a lot of tables. So people were standing about drinking pints, weren't they? You know, I think a lot of conventions you can walk round and you get bored. You walk round again and you think, well, I've been round twice. I've avoided the eye contact with that bloke whose comic I don't want to buy. How do I go around again? But if you, you know what I mean, if you combine it with, you know, a couple of tables you can sit at and have a pint or have a coffee or something, then I think that works well.
Exactly. And you can kind of drift off for a bit and have a pint and then come back to it. And, you know, it's, it was really good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, definitely. And exactly the right kind of venue as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's, I'd kind of encourage people to have a go as well, you know, because like I say, as was literally based on the path of least resistance, you know, we found somewhere that was free. We got everyone, like basically when people turned up, it was like, right, let's everyone put out tables. You get to pick your table, you know, whoever's first gets to pick their table and sort of put it out and get set up. So, you know, it was kind of a nice communal effort, really.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. Yeah, I think the Crouch End is a bit like that.
Yeah.
Have you done Crouch End, Steve? Or
no, I think Gareth's been.
He has. That's true. Yeah. And Avery Hill have done it a few times, and that's very much like. And I always say that's the one that they combine with the bar. And exactly the same sort of area in the same sort of type place as the one in Leeds. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Bit of feedback.
There you go. Like immediate feedback and positive feedback, which is always good.
Yeah.
I did think as we were doing the show last week, I just thought, you know, when you're in the midst of a discussion, you're not quite sure whether you're talking about the positives or the negatives, because it's easier to sort of highlight some of the negatives to conventions.
Yeah,
it,
really? And people do have a habit of moaning in this world, don't they? Well, I don't normally listen back to our shows, but I listened back to that one, and I think we gave it a fairly balanced account, didn't we?
Yeah, we tried to.
Yeah. I mean, as we always say, we're not right and we're not wrong. We just rant, don't we?
Speaking of which.
This is the second show of our topic format. And what a topic we've got this week. Are we ready, gents? Are we significantly warmed up and lubricated? And by that, I mean drinks, of course. But, you know, this week we've decided to tackle a subject it's taboo for some and exciting for others. It can be controversial. It can be personal. It can be sensationalist. It can be whatever you want it to be, unless you don't want it at all. Yes, we're talking about the role of sex in comics.
Yeah.
Tony wanted it.
Yep, I always want it.
The topic.
Sex for me, under the covers, lights out on my own. That's how I would describe it. Wonderful. But bear in mind, it's episode 69. We could not avoid. We couldn't avoid it, could we? It's a perfect opportunity.
It's basically, this is Tony's early birthday present.
when the 69's offered up, you know what I mean?
Saucy boy.
Get your head down and get to it.
All right.
As a little sort of comics aside, I was introduced to the term supermanning this week, which I'm not going to describe on the air, but I'll allow people to go to the Urban Dictionary and write in with what they think of it.
Lovely.
Yeah, I googled that on the train.
Right.
Did get a laugh out of me.
Before we go too far, anyone who knows this show is probably thinking that we're going to devolve into some carry-on in between us like Gigglefest, which we probably will a little bit. But it's actually quite a serious subject, so there's plenty to talk about.
We've got people right in, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll be revealing the results of this week's listener polls. And thank you to everyone.
You went a bit mad with that. You really liked that this week, didn't you?
I know. there was two serious ones. And then if you listen to last week's show, then you'll know the question that was coming, the one that we all want to know the answer to.
Yeah, that's the only one we wanted to know.
Yeah. You two don't
know.
The
other two with us a beard.
Yeah, no one on this show apart from me knows the results, do they?
They don't know. We haven't told us. Yeah.
Good, this is going to be interesting. I'm sure that we're only going to scratch the surface of this topic, but let's see, right? Who would like to begin? Have you put your keys in the bowl? I just want to make sure.
Well, I start? Because I think we decided on this subject, didn't we? And then Dan brought my attention online to an Iron Man comic.
Yes.
Which was, people said, was an over-sexualized image of a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Rebe Johnson.
Rebe, yes, right.
Yeah. Go for it. Go on.
Did you see it, Vince? Did you? And
I
Steve?
I have indeed seen that cover that was quite controversial. Jason Scott Campbell. Or was it Jeff Scott Campbell? I can't remember. What is he?
Jay Scott Campbell.
Yeah. I saw the article. There was an article about it in The Guardian. That's how most things about mainstream comics come to my attention. But it didn't show the sexualized cover, it just showed the normal one. So
I'm not
to comment on it.
I mean, it's a pretty... I'm not knocking the guy's artistic ability, but it's a really poor... I think it's a really poor cover.
Yeah, that was my main problem. Interesting cover. That It seems to be some sort of weird boy band, girl band move that the woman's doing for no utter reason at all. And one side of her body seems to be slightly longer than the other. And
she's got like the crop of the pitch is like mid-calf.
Yeah.
It's really like ugly crop.
Yeah,
if you look at the format of the character, the layout of the actual character, it's almost like it's the standard style that Scott Campbell has been known for. That he's doing variant covers for how many comic books these days, and he's got his style, and I like his style. I'm not necessarily sure if it was the right pick for this particular cover. And also, the actual composition of the cover, like Dan and Tony said, it's quite dull and it's quite boring. And it seems like, I wonder, it makes me think, I wonder how much you got paid for that.
Yeah,
because there's no background, there's no nothing. There's nothing that screams, buy me.
No, not at all. Yeah. If you got a dollar for every line that you draw on that cover, you'd probably get $10.
It's a bit shabby. There was a lot of kind of online kind of...
It kicked off
the over-sexualization of a 15-year-old. Some of the comments annoyed me in regards to this is what they're all like. All comics are like this, and it's like, no, they're not. You kind of massive broad strokes there with your brush. They're not all like this, and this is a kind of a bit of a blip. I mean, sure, there's loads of kind of scantily clad women running around, and the same with the guys. But I guess that's a conversation for another time. But kind of, it seemed that the once again the crowd that don't buy this stuff, not interested in it, and then suddenly they're the most well-informed and opinionated and they can offer up.
Yeah, you're exactly right when you said that. I saw you wrote that, Dan. There's a lot of people who don't really read many... If they did read comics, then they wouldn't be kicking off about that image, that particular image. They'd be going to Xenoscope or, some of the erotic comics out there, and they'd be kicking off about them. But because people love to give Marvel a kick in, they're having a go at that one.
Mm.
They're not sort of focusing on the fact that we've got a black female lead, which is something that comics need.
I mean, I saw tweets to the artist calling him a paedophile.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What?
Really? Yeah, I know, it's just ridiculous. Someone did point out that the lady who was doing it was worked in adult films, and sort of the idea of her lecturing someone on morality was a bit rich.
I mean, I don't know anything about 15-year-old girls, and I'm probably quite glad that I don't. But I think it was Sarah Harris wrote something like that. Have you seen 15-year-old girls? They do dress like that, And it wasn't, for people who haven't seen the image, it was just a crop top showing a belly button.
Isn't she wearing a crop top in the previous image of there's another cover with kind of, she's a smaller figure and Tony Stark's got her back to her. And she's wearing exactly the same wardrobe. It's just kind of essentially the pose that J. Scott Campbell was drawn her in.
It's like the way boy bands sort of reach out and grab the air and pull it back. It's like one of those sort of poses to me.
If it was live action, it's essentially the role of a 15-year-old girl that they've hired a 25-year-old woman to play. That's kind of what it looks like, because you look at it and go, that's never a 15-year-old girl. And that is, if you think about it like that, that's why the cover's bad. That's why it's wrong, because it's not really representative of what the character is at the end of the day. Take away the sexualization and all of this and everything that people throw at it. The reason I think it's bad is it doesn't represent any, the book itself.
Yeah.
I can't speak for other artists, only for myself. I find drawing teens is fucking hard. It's really hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you either kind of fool and they look too old or they look way too young. It's very hard to kind of get that teenage years, and then you can do it for one picture. But when you're drawing a comic, it's difficult.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm not making any excuse for any artist that kind of does otherwise, but I can only speak for myself. But I find it's difficult.
I mean, what does J. Scott Campbell get for a cover? I don't know, a grand? Does he get a grand? I don't know.
I don't know.
But in regards to that sort of, you know, faux outrage that we get probably hourly on, you know, the comics internet, I thought I'd go to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and they list challenges that have been made against comics. So where people have challenged, you know, the issues with comics, you know.
Okay.
And so, and there's some surprising titles. I'll run through them and see if any of these have sort of outraged anyone on, you know, listening here. So you got The Amazing Spider-Man. I don't really know why that was, to be fair. You got Dark Knight Returns. Really? Yeah? I don't know what that's about.
I presume he's because he's knocking around with a young girl.
Might be the reason. Yeah. You got The Killing Joke. Yeah, Killing Joke. So these are legal challenges. They're not just people who've written in going, I don't
know. Oh, okay. A legal challenge.
Actual full-on legal challenges.
What about the content of the book or sexual content of the book?
The sexual content of the book are the ones I picked out, yeah. Right. You've got The Killing Joke, which is the point of the book, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. People seem to get a lot more out of that than I do when I've read it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
The scene, it's horrific, obviously.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think people, from what I've read, seem to read into that what Joker's done a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like it's horrible. I think he essentially strips her and takes photos of her, which is horrible enough, but people say he did more. I said, I don't think there's evidence for that in the book. I'm sure there isn't.
I can't remember. It's been a while since I read it now.
Yeah, not me.
A lot of those things in that book are very much stuff that's alluded to that you're not quite sure what's happened. Like the very ending of the book, for instance.
Yeah, Morrison talks about him killing him at the end, doesn't he? I know Morrison did Fat Man on Batman and talked about how the indications are that Batman kills the Joker at the end of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is interesting. But yeah, I don't know about that one. The next one was Blanket that I picked out. Blankets by Craig Thompson. Anyone read that?
I've heard a lot about that one. I haven't read it, but I've heard a lot about that.
It's about a sort of coming of age story, really. You know, so, you know, naturally. Dragon Ball.
Ah. You're joking.
What?
The nudity. Yeah, silence that my brain sort of occupied after I read that. But like, really, people have got time in their lives to write in. Fuck me, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's nude?
Sorry,
who's
nude?
Oh, I don't know. One of them. I got time to wash shirts to wear the following day at work. Never mind write in about Dragon Ball, whatever it is that I've never seen, never intend to. But you know, Fun Home by Alison Bechdel, people need to get a grip, you know.
I presume someone has written in by Lost Girls then.
By who, sorry?
Lost Girls, Alan Moore.
Yeah, I didn't see that one on the list. It was only sort of a snapshot of stuff that they'd sort of helped defend, you know.
Okay.
From the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. 8 Ball by Daniel Klaus. I mean, I don't know. In a world of sort of hardcore pornography available within seconds at your hands, you know, no matter pretty much wherever you are in the country or in the world, you know, people do seem to sort of be picking comics out, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, and Mouse as well got written in about. Read that bit about it, but you know, the good that Mouse has done, you know, I'm sure outweighs the fact that someone somewhere has been outraged by it.
Yeah,
but this is not just like I take umbrage with this. I don't like this. This is like legally they've gone for it.
Yeah.
So money's been put down to have a pop at it.
It just goes to show this. I wrote this when I wrote this list out. It just goes to show that someone somewhere will be offended by no matter what you do.
Yeah.
You know? Which someone's going to get that hump.
Yeah,
about it,
exactly.
You know?
Which ties into our first poll
that
we put out. Thank you for everyone that voted and gave us your opinions. So I'll read out the opinions afterwards. But the first one was, in your comic reading lifetime, which one of these has shocked you more? Now, we had sex, drugs, violence, and nothing. I'm dead inside. those are the choices. Now, 85 people voted.
That's good.
Drugs came fourth with 5%.
Yeah.
Third was sex with 19%.
Okay.
35% of listeners said violence has shocked them the most. Means that 41% of the people who voted said nothing. I'm dead inside.
This shows the sort of nihilistic listeners we have, doesn't it?
I voted on that poll, and I voted for violence.
How did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the few comics that I've actually read, because my knowledge is is about as good as my knowledge about sex. But I mean, something that springs to mind is like Walking Dead. That's one of the comics that I have read. Okay. And, you know, some of the bits in that, like the bit in the jail where that crazy bloke cuts off the two girls' heads. You know, the two little girls' heads.
And it has these moments of like, right, proper brutality.
Yeah,
there's a builds that into the beats of it, doesn't he? I mean, the big one. I don't think we're giving anything away because it's, you know, it's what, 7-8 years ago is where she's shot at the same time, you know, with the baby. That scene.
Yeah, I'm also thinking of the baseball bat.
Right. Okay.
So,
that's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
I've not got to that bit in the comics yet. I've had it with the series now. I'm not going to watch anymore.
A friend of mine stopped reading it because she just was just sickened by it.
There's also the bit with Michonne torturing the governor as well. Pretty rough.
I think the bit before that as well, I think her kind of objection was just the way ladies are treating that, which is absolutely horrifically. But to be fair, everyone's treated it absolutely horrifically in that.
Yeah.
It's unendingly bleak.
So bleak, isn't it? Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
It's a happy-go-lucky tale. It's like a Family Brothers movie, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I can never think of anything that's like really outraged me in terms of sex in comics. But that, you know, those sort of little things stick with you.
Yeah,
they do, don't they? Yeah, you remember that moment, don't you, almost?
So from the comments we had on the poll, Paul Moore at pmoore121 said, "No shocks, but I've experienced awe, excitement, admiration, or uneasiness/creepiness. Maybe I have not been immersed enough." I think you have. If you're being creeped out by comics, I know I have. You might be talking about my comics.
Speaking of Paul, actually, I reviewed a comic of his today. He's in Dark Matter 2, and he absolutely kills it in it. Really, really good.
Oh, yeah, very good. Only a matter of time for that, man. Only a matter of
The stuff he's been posting up on for his Inktober stuff is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
I'd put him close to Charlie Adlard in style, actually. I think I said that before to him. But, real quality line work. Yeah, really nice.
At Comics Anonymous, got in touch, and they said, "Nothing has shocked me, but there are a fair few things have gone too far or teetered on the edge of a dark abyss of sick shit."
I like Gary. Gary's written into the Facebook page as well. Gary runs Comics Anonymous, isn't he?
Yeah.
Good guy. And he's essentially summed up the role of sex in comics as context, which has got, to me, is perfectly the perfect summation of the way I feel about it as well. Mm. You know, really interesting.
Matt Strott at Messy Comics, he said, "Horrors of mankind can be too real. When exceptionally illustrated, it's something you can't unsee, especially if unexpected." Very true. And I think that's probably what, with any of those sort of choices, it's if it just comes out of the blue, I think that's when it's more likely to shock you, isn't it? You're just not expecting, not expecting to see like graphic nudity in a My Little Pony book. Not that I ever have.
No.
Oh, you can only dream, though, can't you? I've never seen the Brony movie. Has anyone seen it?
That documentary? No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Oh, I want to see that.
You should. That's all.
Is that on Netflix, or it was on Netflix?
It was on Netflix, yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll look for that. Because they did a sort of slightly shorter version, didn't they, for Channel 4, but I want to see the full sort of hour and a half one.
Yeah. Don't worry, Tony, you're not alone. That documentary is all about them. Daniel Banks, at Daniel Banks, he said one word, Neonomicon.
Oh yeah, Lord. That goes there.
Dan, you said, "Oh Lord, are you okay?"
You've had an incident with Neonomicon, haven't you, Dan? Is it you? I can't remember now.
Well, the lady from work,
that's right, yeah.
She brought it in and said, "Oh, check this out." And then she said, "Oh, by the way, I stopped reading after sort of X page." And I was like, "Really?" And then I started looking, and I was like, "Holy fuck."
This woman at work wasn't coming on to you in a really creepy, violent, sexual way, was she? She doesn't want to experiment on your body with... No, okay. No, fair enough. Yeah.
But, that's kind of pretty unrelenting, that book.
Yeah, I've not read it, but I've heard that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. I love about that. Everyone's like,
Well,
did I tell you a story about Elemental Sex Special when I bought that comic?
I like this story. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. It was the comic shop I used to go to in Croydon in shops. I can't remember what it's called. It might have been the Phantom Zone, or it changed names.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of this crappy little shopping centre. very low rent. You can kind of, you'd see a shop in there 1 month and then it'd be gone the next. But when they used to get my pull list and they had Elemental Sex Special, and I was like, hey, I'm a teenager and I'm going to fucking buy a comic about sex. Great. And the guy, and the guy bought it to me. I can remember giving it to me in the kind of paper bag and kind of looking at me like, okay. So the next day, brought into school, because I didn't really think much of it. It's pretty tame stuff. But yeah, someone said, oh, Dan, can I read that, borrow it, whatever. Yeah, whatever. And I didn't see it for the rest of the day. And then it came back, like, with the cover ripped off. And basically, like, it had gone around the school. And I was now known as a pervert.
That was great. How it began.
Yeah. That's how it began.
For those that haven't read Elementals, it's kind of a subversion of the Fantastic Four, isn't it? Yeah. Each person's got a power based around an element. There's four of them. One's a sort of thing-like creature. You know, there's an underwater lady and all this sort of thing. And it's written by Bob Willingham, and it started off at Comic... I can't remember the name of that. Comico, I think.
Yeah.
And I think you can't get it reprinted, because I think Willingham had a fist fight, didn't he, in the street with the bloke owning the company. And he won't let it go now. Mm. And it's kind of one of those sort of forgotten 80s comics. It's actually really good. But towards the end, they kept bringing out sex specials, didn't they?
Mm. He's just trading on the last of it.
Yeah, I think so. And it was like people having sex with centaurs and all sorts of things in it. But yeah, actually not a bad series. Yeah.
When they started doing all that kind of Marvel swimsuit stuff, the specials.
Yeah, it was around that time. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Trying to trade in on that.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Okay.
Yeah, the adolescent boys.
Simon Russell got in touch at Simon at Boeing. He said, I've seen so many badly drawn, anatomically ugly, objectified, sexy superheroines that the taste of my fellow readers shocks me. He followed it with saying, I have resolved never to taste my fellow readers again.
I shared that fucking picture of Rob Liefeld did of one of his characters.
Oh, well, there's no spine.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of,
yeah,
her body's like an S.
Didn't I send you a message saying where are internal organs?
Yeah.
Where do you put them in a body like that? It's just difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote into the Facebook page, actually, Simon. He's a good lad. And he said, some comics are like a 14-year-old boy boasting how smelly their fingers are after a fumble down the park. Which is great. And he goes on to say Eddie Campbell gets it right in early Alex strips. And I agree with him. I love Eddie Campbell stuff. Really good. And then he mentions Crumb, actually. And Crumb makes it look like fun. For him, at least. We'll probably get on to Crumb in a minute. Interesting subject.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
A couple more. At Level 8 Comics. As mentioned in the movie Unbreakable, everything in comics tends to be exaggerated. Violence is a given, even in the mildest of comics. To portray sex as exaggerated can be very shocking, but shouldn't be mistaken for sexuality, which isn't explored enough.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not drawn a comic or written a comic with any kind of sex or intimacy scenes in it. I don't know. I just think it'd be really ham-fisted if I tried it.
Pun?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm good enough a writer to do it without it sounding.
No, yeah.
Like it would pop up in one of those fucking Guardian articles, like the 10 worst sex scenes in fiction this year.
Yeah, I looked at a couple of them. Yeah, I looked at a couple of the comic-related ones. But yeah, I think dealing with sexual identity is different from dealing with sex, isn't it?
Yeah,
I was wandering around the west wing of my house, the comics wing, looking at.
Is that the library? Shed. I can't remember.
Shed, yeah. Looking at like what I'm going to pick off the shelf to talk about this week, and the one that struck my eye was Why the Last Man, which deals with sexual identity in, you know, like a real sort of interesting way, doesn't it? By just sort of stripping everything back and just giving there being one man in a world of women, and it doesn't go the place you think it's going to go, does it?
Yeah.
It doesn't go to you know. To sort of porno heaven.
Yeah. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yeah.
No. I can't diss that movie. I've got to take that back.
Yeah, we love that movie.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Has anyone ever read the X-Men issue? I think Joe Casey wrote it, where they Angel discovers they've got an X ranch, so like a brothel run by mutants only. Has anyone ever read that issue?
No.
And there's can't remember the name of the mutant in it now. But there's a mutant in it, and her power is she incapacitates people by making them jizz their pants.
It's the way you say enough. It. You're a poet. Yeah. You're an absolute...
Thank you. And there's also that Emma Frost one, isn't there, where we were talking about the X-Men before we came on, weren't we, about Basques? but they need to bring him back.
Yeah.
It's Emma Frost, who's probably the last bastion of the Basque-wearing superhero, maybe. She makes an angry crowd calm down by psychically giving them orgasms. I think that's in a Grant Morrison written story.
I think that's, yeah, that new X-Men ones. Yeah,
yeah, that's quite good, isn't it?
That was when the Basque was no more, though, wasn't it? She didn't have the Basque then, or did she?
Oh, she's gone away from the Basque, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's a bit like Dobbs' superpower. He keeps telling me he's got makes you do a poo.
Yeah, every time he looks at you. It's terrifying.
Yeah, he has got weird eyes, though, isn't he? It's
terrifying.
Yeah. they're always looking in different directions. He's like a chameleon. Anyway. Love you, Dobbs.
Okay.
Anyway, last one. Yeah. Mike Stock, at Sheriff Stocky. He says, yeah, I've been shocked by violence in comics before a few times. I don't recall any shocking drug stories. The over-sexualization over characters, particularly female, in comics disappoints me on a daily basis. Which I think is probably a view shared by quite a few people. It all depends on the character, though, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, kind of rushing to the defence of the Iron Man cover. On the flip side of that, it is ridiculous. I see ridiculous things of like where ladies have got kind of fucking bits of duct tape, sellotaped over their breasts and stuff. And it's just, oh, come on. It's just, it does go a bit too far.
You lampoon the sort of, you know, the roles of men and women in your books, don't you? Or you certainly did in Comely Boys and, well, no, it's not Comely Girls, but Comely Girls, isn't it, Steve? I was specifically thinking of the hockey match.
Yeah, that was one of Gareth's. Yeah, just these girls just speaking in the most appalling language, you know, because they're all set in, like, you know, it's all sort of set in this 50s world of, you know, optimism and all that, but really it's just as dirty, and you know, it's contrasted with today's world that's rough and horrible.
It's like the streets of Croydon put in a posh door.
Thank you for voting on that, folks, and those wonderful suggestions. Tony, what did you want to talk about? Oh, did you say Crumb?
Well, yeah, I just wonder what people's opinion is of Crumb, actually. I mean, he divides sort of. Has anyone seen the movie about Crumb, firstly?
No.
I haven't seen the movie, but I saw when I was a kid, one of the only documentaries about comics that I saw was very much about the small press one, and it had, like, Crumb was one of the major, you know, Fritz the Cat and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That was my first sort of vision of Crumb. It's very much it's not to everyone's taste. But you can't deny, you know, how influential he's been and what he did for the, especially like independent comics in the States.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you a big fan of Crumb?
I like some of Crumb. Yeah, I like the American Splendor stuff. I like some of more of the sort of real life kind of stuff. I'm not a huge fan of Fritz the Cat. I just find it a bit. I mean, I'm, you know, anyone on the show that loves toilet humor, it's me. I just sort of base stuff, and it's probably because I was reading it probably in the 80s rather than in the 60s when he did it. I didn't find it. I found it trying to be a little bit hipper than, you know, but there's no denying he is a master of what he does.
Yeah.
But he does go there. He does have a certain view of a certain female shape, you know, that he objectifies.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with him with a girlfriend. She said he wasn't really into having sex. He just wanted to get piggybacks off me. So I don't think he's particularly normal in relation to that.
No.
My opinion is the same. I think it's you know, there's no doubt in that in the 60s it was quite transgressive, all that stuff that he was doing. But
yeah.
You know, I've seen enough of his drawings about big legs and all that, and I think it gets a bit boring. I mean, I absolutely love his drawing style, and you know, you can't knock that. But yeah, it can get a bit samey.
Yeah, he's got such an individual style, and he's something of a breakthrough for people, you know, with Zap and stuff like that. You know, that was an interesting period. But what about you two guys? Have you read much of his, or
not really? I mean, his art style never really appealed to me that much. It's certainly as soon as I see a Crumb piece, I know it's a Crumb piece. So
yeah,
you can say that, you know, that's fantastic for an art style. If people can recognize you straight away. Same with like Steve Dillon, we were talking about, you know, you see a Steve, you recognise it immediately. Crumb, if I remember correctly, he put a lot of nipples in things.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
yeah.
It's got a lot of nipples.
Yeah,
yeah.
Artistically, VAC, a lot of people use that as an easy go-to, especially like some of the lower end sort of independent comics, you know, and those erotic comics and stuff like that.
I mean, Stuart McCone wrote in a bit about it. One of the reasons I noted it down is Stuart wrote in about Zap, and he's very much in favour of, I think he likes Zap, but Robert Williams and S. Clay Wilson are often sidelined in favour for Crumb, and there was a lot of really good stuff there. Rob Williams did the Hot Rod art in particular.
Yeah,
and then that period, you know, leading all the way through Heavy Metal, which he mentions as well, and leading through Epic Magazine, and, you know, there's a straight line for all that stuff. That is, you know, it's when, you know, you get all these people and they go, oh my God, this is outrageous. Look at this woman, you can see her belly button. And yet, you know, if they perhaps read some of this stuff, they'd be even more outraged. But it doesn't diminish its artistic quality, and a lot of it is just genius stuff.
I said a couple of years ago, I went to an exhibition of Crumb stuff. I can't remember where the gallery was, but you start looking around and you're looking at his work and the scale that he's working at. And the volume of stuff, I thought I'd seen quite a lot of Crumb stuff. And then when I went around this, it's like, I've practically seen none of this. And it's all the original work. Mm. And it's just like, it's fucking loads of it. It's just unbelievable.
When you're talking about the scale, are you talking about the volume of work or the size of the actual
pieces? Kind of like the actual size of some of the pieces are relatively small. Okay. And then the kind of the detail they've got on them and the amount of work put into it. It's strange. You like his life drawings as well. They're like hyper real, like his comics. They're not life drawing.
It's like a caricature, isn't it, really?
But then like the kind of the mastery of kind of like the cross hatching and the shading, just the artistic, the merit of it is like, fucking hell, this guy knew his onions. But essentially, I just see it as kind of a guy putting down his sexual fantasies and peccadillos down on the page. And that's what he did.
You know, his neurotic behaviour and his sexual yearnings and his sort of worries about life is all just on a page, isn't it? That's how I see it. Yeah. It's a very sort of personal, confessional kind of style he's got.
But also, if it was exactly the same subject, exactly the same comic, but his style was more, let's say, a mainstream DC style. Do you know what I mean? Would it be viewed, as in the subject matter, completely differently?
It could well be, couldn't it? Yeah. I think it could be.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one, because that's very kind of what was going on in the period. And he was there doing it. Yeah, it's a difficult one.
It's the same as everything. Is art meant to offend you? And I suppose at times it is meant to offend you, isn't it?
And
it depends on the context, like we were hearing about a second ago.
Yeah,
from Gary.
And,
you know,
it's to make you think as well. As long as it gets you thinking, and, you know, and doesn't hurt anyone.
Francis Bacon, there's a quote from him where he says art is just the recreation of something else. And whether it be, you know, a direct comparison or direct recreation, or it's just the recreation of an emotion or, you know, or of sex, then it's as relevant as the next thing. There are lines, I think, personally, that you shouldn't cross. I think there's certain age restriction lines.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that, you know, you shouldn't cross. And I think I wouldn't want to expose
legal things as well.
That
you shouldn't show in books.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, We said we weren't really going to go into the topic, but like we're kind of manga and anime, kind of the stuff that they bang out is just pardon
some
the
of it.
I love the terms you're using this week, Dan. It's beautiful.
But it's kind of like fucking hell. You get yourself in shit if you kind of was importing that or you got caught with that. It's really. Not like I'm a vast connoisseur of that kind of stuff, but sometimes you'll be in a comic book and it's like, fucking hell, it's a bit much.
When you go to a convention and you see these tables full of hentai and it's covered up by, you know, cellophane, and you have to lift the cellophane up to look at it, you think, really? Seriously? You know, go to a erotica and sell it there, you know?
Yeah.
Don't go to a comic convention, I've got to be honest with you. That's the way I personally feel about it. Call me a 27-year-old prude, but, you know, I might be. That's...
Well, I kind of, if you're going to sell that stuff and you're going to have it on the thing, maybe have it on the back wall where some kid can't fucking grab it, or it's just not there for
good. I think that's
not meant to be a prude.
Yeah, it's thinking about the audience, isn't it? I mean, for some of the, like most comics, there's an audience for everything, and as we know with comics and culture in general, everyone has different tastes, but I think also there's a time and a place for everything.
Yep, exactly.
If you're at an MCM, for instance, on the shop floor, and you've got like someone selling like, I don't know, just say they got My Little Pony. I don't know why I keep mentioning My Little Pony. just say they got that. You got Adventure Time, another table, and then you've got like a table in between them selling stuff that isn't really appropriate. There's no place for it there.
There used to be a few comic shops in this country, and I know Midtown Comics have removed it, but until last year they'd have a different section for adult comics and for, let's face it, poor magazines, you know, they used to sell as well. And you'd have to go behind a curtain or through a little barrier, and you would be in the sort of sexualized. Yeah. I don't know whether, you know, it depends on where you draw the line around that stuff. But I have to say.
But it's like just sex in general, or like sexuality. That's not to say that people should be ashamed of certain things that they like.
Yeah.
But it's.
I think sex in comics is it can be anything. It can be mostly funny, because sex is literally, you've seen the faces people make, there's that quote, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, during sex, that's hilarious. You know, it can be sensual, it can be dramatic. You know, there's all sort of renderings you can do for it.
Yeah.
You know. I was wandering around the West Wing today, and I was, shall I go through some titles I saw that I like that contain sexuality and see what everyone thinks about it? Has anyone read Paying for It by Chester Brown?
No.
It's funny enough, I've got it in front of me. It's got an introduction by Robert Crumb, and it's the experiences, a sort of hugely confessional experience of Chester Brown, and it gives a sort of experiences of all the different prostitutes he slept with.
Fucking hell.
It's just, oh my God, it's horrific, but it's extremely true. And it's like little bits. I just read a chapter before we came online about, you know, he goes with a prostitute and he can't get an erection, and this sort of the embarrassment level. And afterwards, she's really worried. He says, "Is it because you think I'm ugly?" And he makes an excuse and says, "Oh, no, I just had a long day." he couldn't tell this prostitute that he didn't think she was attractive. You know, pays her money and leaves. And you think, oh, my God, how embarrassing. You know, demeaning to you. Yeah. Which is, I would recommend that actually to anyone. It's a really good, interesting book. Hepcats. Anyone read that?
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Anthropomorphic animals with dog and cat heads, and there's quite a lot of furry penises in that one.
Lovely. I will say that I don't really read that many books with sex in them, per se.
Right. Okay. You get enough anyway, don't you?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Bit of Busman's Holiday.
Oh.
But that's a big the anthro and fairy stuff.
Yeah.
That's a
whole different show, isn't it, really? We need to do
that. So what's this Busman's Holiday comic you're on about? That sounds good.
I'm working on it at the moment, it'll be out next year.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. Don't put Cliff in it, there's issues.
You could have like a really sexually frustrated bloke called Busman, and he goes on holiday.
Yeah,
he's a bus driver.
He said,
"I'd be a bus driver because of my last name."
Yeah,
that's good. Steve's writing this down. I know that. Look,
wonder if they ever did a on the buses comic.
They did. It appeared in the magazine. Yeah,
really.
Yeah, oh, it's actually quite good. It's well drawn, anyway. Put it that way.
It's that bloke off on the buses. What's his mate who's like got that horrible sort of sharp face?
Really pervy one.
Yeah, it just really gives me the creep. I can't even bear to look at on the buses because they're all so ugly and they're always perving over women. It's just so disgusting. Yeah.
Also, it's Hammer Films' biggest selling movie. Did you know that?
Really?
Hammer Films made it, and it's the biggest selling movie of all of their films.
That,
so including all vampires, including the Doctor Who movies they did.
That
really
upsets me.
Because if you Bank Holiday on one of the channels, there would be a fucking On the Buses film.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. I think the opening of On the Buses, the first one, a car goes past, and I think the air of the car going past, the wind rips a woman's shirt off, and she's got no bra on. I think that's the opening shot, I think, pretty much. You know, you're in for there, don't you?
Yeah.
Not that I watched that much when I was 16, that movie. Yeah.
What other books did you have, Tony?
Here we go. We've got a few. Yeah. So Minimum Wage. We've already talked about Minimum Wage and Bobby and a Friend of His, and that is very confessional and real life. Real life sex is depicted in a real way. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and it's a personal autobiographical style comic, you know. Heavy Metal, I've got a couple of issues of Heavy Metal in front of me. Morbius Gravis, a sensuous tale set in a devastated futuristic city. You get what you look for there, I've got to tell you. That's exactly what it says on the tin.
What's the one the old Milo Meniaret used to do?
Yeah, like his stuff, yeah. He caught quite a lot of shit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Once again over a variant cover.
Yeah. Sorry, mate?
Yeah. Yeah, once again over a variant cover. But like you say, what were they expecting?
Yeah, yeah. Frank Cho, obviously. We all love Frank Cho, don't we?
Yeah.
He gets a bit stick.
Yeah.
Love and Rockets.
Yep.
Yeah. None of these books I've mentioned so far are outrageous to me in any way. I love them all, you know.
Yeah.
Really good. 100 Times, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
About the werewolf couple, you know, the one that had the parallels to HIV.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Airboy, which we've talked about quite a few times in the past.
Yeah.
Played for humorous effect. Miracle Man birth scene, I put down. I suppose it's not sex, is it? But it's the repercussions of sex. Showing.
Yeah, because in the book, she has sex with Miracle Man, not her partner.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, that's the upshot of it.
Yeah, and they have.
I was going to kind of make the comment that there seems to be a lot of kind of European and American titles dealing with these kind of issues, but maybe not so many British ones.
Do you think that's a fair. Up to a certain date, I'd say, but there have been a few scandals in this country, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, Jane, for example. Did anyone ever read the newspaper strip Jane? I think it was called Jane at War as well.
No.
It was in the 1940s, and it was a very, very short-lived TV series.
How did I read that, then, if it was in the 1940s?
Okay. Yeah. I know I was born there. I went up with anyone. But it was a short-lived TV series with Glynis Barber, who was also in Blake 7, Dempsey and Makepeace, and EastEnders. And usually, at some point, she had her clothes ripped off to reveal underwear. In the comic, I think that they had her bare-chested. And that was an English thing. And then you had you had Nasty Tales, which was there was a trial in 72 at the Old Bailey, wasn't there? Which was a sort of undergroundy sort of Zap style comic, which is interesting. And then I think the history of British porno comics more relates to British porno magazines, isn't it? You know, you got the likes of Hunt Emerson and these sort of people who would draw a one page comic in stuff like Men Only and all these sort of magazines.
Mm.
You know, and if you're a fan of Hunt Emerson, they're actually really good, well done comics, you know. George and Lynn, obviously a big fan. You're a big fan of that, Dan, aren't you, George and Lynn?
Yeah, massive fan of George and Lynn.
Yeah. George and Lynn ran from 1976 to 2010. You know, and there's just basically a couple laying in bed together naked with a little bit too much body hair.
And they just talk about irrelevance.
Yeah, you've been shopping. She puts a bra on. You know, it's like that. You know,
I had to put my best front forward or something, and it's just okay.
Yeah.
light on laughs.
And then you got Don Lawrence, who drew the Trigon Empire. I think he did a strip called Carrie in Penthouse magazine. She was always seemed to be. It was one of those sort of. Can't call it a pseudo bondage, can you? I suppose. Is it BD? What's BD? What's the SM? Bondage?
Sadomasochism.
That's it. And that was one of those sort of strips. You think, and there's no way they're reprinting that now. That was properly near the knuckle, that one.
Didn't they used to do Penthouse comics? They used to be Penthouse comics.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, yeah. So I think there has been, but it's been a little bit more undergroundy or actually in porno magazines, you know, interesting enough. Yeah, I mean, sort of the likes of 2000 AD and Battle and, I don't know, Flipping Misty and, you know, Beezer and, you know, all this sort of thing. They wouldn't have anything like that.
No. Yeah.
No.
I mean, it's the way... I think sex and sexual situations, they certainly... they do creep into the mainstream. Not say creep. Sometimes they kick the doors down with some series.
Yeah.
I mean, that fucking Batman and Catwoman one was just...
Yes.
I have not read the story, but I've kind of seen the page, and it just seems completely and utterly unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
There's no point to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that was early in the New 52, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think that goes back to what we're saying through all of this, is context. You know, if it adds absolutely nothing to the story other than just getting someone's rocks
just
off.
Just the cheap titillation. There's just no...
And I just think the characters deserve more. Do you know what I mean?
You kind of had this kind of play between Batman and Catwoman for years and years and years, and then someone just really massively mishandles it, doesn't understand it, and having sex.
Why don't they just go all the way and just have Catwoman strap one on and do Batman in the arse?
Yeah.
And then just move on to have Batman stories.
Well, I think that's the quote of this week's episode. but it does tie into our second poll.
Here we go.
Pardon the pun. Because our second one was, overall, do you think sex and sexual situations are handled well in mainstream comics, i.e. Marvel, DC, Image?
Right.
Okay. Very simple question. Yes or no answer. Let's go to some of the comments before I give you the answer. Sam Webster at SJ Webster Art, he said, Scarlet Witch and Vision, how does that work? Does Vision have synthetic junk?
He does have, he's a replica of the Human Torch, isn't he, or something, whatever it is, of a real person, isn't he? So he's going to have a green wiener, isn't he, or a red wiener, I suppose.
Yeah, and if it was the movies, he can just create a cape out of nothing. I'm sure he could just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, size and boggles. Issue, let's face it.
Yeah.
At Kiwa, it's a new listener there. Image is streets ahead of the other two, but overall, it's terrible. I would think so. I mean, I certainly Image certainly have more sexual content books cropping up, don't they? I think.
I was about to mention Saga actually on my little list.
I think Saga was the first one that kicked. Well, you could probably say, was it the first one to properly sort of just kick it open? And then,
I think it was the first one to get like a bit of a drama about it, because there was a bit of a drama about the, because the people in it have TVs on their heads. So I gave up reading Saga, but the and wasn't there a bit of action going on one of the TV screens or something?
Yes, there was crazy things. But Saga does a lot of things that you're like, whoa, you know, you don't expect. But also it's a character story as well as that. You know, I think it's one of those stories that gets a lot of attention for those shocking moments when there's a lot more to it. At Bevis Musson, he said, there are exceptions, Midnighter and Apollo being a good recent example, but generally it's either puerile or sexist, which isn't to say I object to sex or cheesecake/beefcake, but it's far too frequently just badly done, which I think goes back to our Batman Catwoman, what we just said there.
It's about everything, isn't it? It's context and how well it's done, and I think... You know, I like all comics in all aspects to be well done. Yeah. But if they're just going to, you know, suddenly drop their shirt, you know, we're going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a storytelling medium. If it doesn't service the story, and if it's not appropriate for your audience, because it's all about know your audience as well. Then you shouldn't do it.
But, yeah. Kevin Cooling wrote in. He said comics have to say something about the human condition.
Yeah.
And he says that sex is definitely part of that, and it has to be handled appropriately, and that's exactly what we're getting at there, you know.
Yeah,
situation, you know. Mm.
At Super Andy 83, overall, it's still too clumsy. It ends up coming over as awkward or creepy.
I like the creepy. Brilliant. I'm quite creepy.
So. You can relate to that, can you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so, just looking at my bookshelf here, there's Invincible, there's sex scenes in that, and Glory, there's some of that. And again, both two Image titles, and they're handled really well in that.
Are there actual sex scenes in Invincible?
Yeah.
I mean, Invincible isn't a, you know, it's a superhero book, but it's a grown-up superhero book, isn't it? It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of issues with kind of sexuality, people having children, discussing it. It's quite handles it quite maturely.
Yeah. What do you think about sex in the small press, Steve? Do you think it's less or more prevalent, or handled better or worse? What do you think?
Small press. I think that's a tough one, because obviously there's various levels of quality. But I think you know, there is more people you know, doing personal autobiographical comics and all that sort of thing, and that obviously. That obviously creeps in. I can't think of many examples, to be honest, of small press stuff that I've seen that's overly sexual.
Doing a bit of stuff like, when you say autobiographical, you're spot on there, because I was thinking about, I often quote him, but Jeffrey Brown, you know, he's got that sort of real, like, he doesn't cut back on the embarrassment factor around stuff. And I was also thinking about Bridget Deacon, Have you seen her stuff? I know she's doing some stuff with the company you've worked with, I think, soon.
Yeah, I've not seen any of your comics. I've seen her work.
Yeah. She treats sexuality in a very sort of, it's a bit like Black Hole, yeah, similar to that. It's full of sort of twisted bodies and weird buttons appearing on people's bodies and, you know, deformities and stuff and growth of stuff. And then that's dealt with in a really interesting way for it. And especially in a small press comic, you know.
Mm. Would you think there's any kind of awkwardness if you was doing like a small press event and your book was about that subject and people wanted to come up and talk to you?
About your own sex life, you mean?
I do remember this comic. I can't remember who it was by now, and it was about how he's a virgin, and that just really embarrassed me looking at that.
Yeah, it's not Gareth, isn't it?
Yeah, you can just imagine someone reading it, and their eyes sort of flashing up over the top.
Yeah,
you're the creator on the other side of the table.
It's like, this stuff.
That's brave.
Yeah, it's brave.
Yeah, that's self-destructive, not just brave, isn't it?
I would say the majority of small press stuff would be kind of autobiographical, though. I would sort of think of
that. Around this subject thing, yeah.
I mean, you get, for instance, Jenny Oblad. She does her... The wonderful Jenny Oblad. She does her Jenny Tales comics, which she openly sort of says, this is smut. And, you know, so it's not for everyone, but she just loves smut.
That's fine. Yeah.
You like, I mean, occasionally we all like reading about sex, don't we?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
And I'd say also,
Gareth, who's a long time collaborator and pal of, well, Steve's, and I've known for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Didn't he make, in one of his comics, a vagina out of a sock and some glitter?
Yeah. Again, that's context.
Yeah. We've all done that, though, haven't we?
And the story of that is it's this young boy whose age is kind of indeterminate, coming to terms with his sort of burgeoning sexuality, and he starts to make sex toys. He doesn't really know what he's doing, or, you know, and he's finding out things about sex and anatomy as he's going along, and he makes these various sex dolls. So that's the Black Project. And it's Gareth Brooks. We've said Gareth about 10 times, and I've not actually mentioned
his last name. Yeah, be upset. Yeah. Which is a great book and an award-winning book, isn't it? Really good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's a good lad. Yeah, we must get Gareth on one day. I'm always chatting to him. We need to get him on soon. Yeah,
he's got a good knowledge of sort of small press and stuff, a lot better than mine. So he's a bit of a...
Yeah, he had a go at me for accusing him of always being drunk at signings. That's not true, Gareth.
No. There was that time that you bought him, like, six double whiskies or something, and we had to take him home.
I remember that. I forgot about that. That was at Bristol, wasn't it? Was that Bristol?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was
I forgot about that, yeah. I think was the same time I bought him a Superman family comic, and it was entitled Superman and Super Horse. And he really liked that.
Which isn't a sex comic, we just want to say.
No, yeah.
Lord, no.
In terms of the results of the poll, I'm sorry, I never gave you the results.
Sorry, mate.
What do you think? We got 71 votes on this one. What do you think the majority said?
Ooh, I don't know. Go on.
24% said yes, and 76% said no. They do not think sex and sexual situations are handled well in the mainstream comics, i.e. Marvel, DC, and him.
Yeah, it's a big
shout, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't vote on that one because of my ignorance of the form, but my guess would have been no.
Right, okay, yeah.
And that would have been my vote from a position of complete ignorance.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just been seeing,
what is it, Power Girls, boobs. That's, you know, there's that white top in there with the circle.
Yeah, yeah. Boob window. We like a bit of boob window.
Yeah.
I wear a ball window. It's sort of...
that's just a bunch.
We've had a couple of bad examples recently with stuff. I wonder if that's kind of swayed the poll a little more.
Yeah, maybe.
We had the Killing Joke cartoon, which kind of... I've not watched it.
I've not seen that one. Yeah,
only on Blu-ray. I've not watched that, but they said that's completely unnecessary addition to that of kind of a sex scene.
It's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. Mind you, the first 30 minutes of that are completely pointless.
Okay. I've heard that. Yeah, you've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan of the movie. And it was, I mean, it did inspire me to go to my bookshelf and pick up the book again. And then I read the book and I just thought, why did they think that they could turn this into anything? It's almost like a story that can only exist as a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my opinion. I didn't like it. Cool.
Add into a classic thing, you can kind of do something. You know what I mean? You say, oh, I know what this comic's missing, and add in your own little...
And it's also to pad out the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it might be, yeah. It's not a long comic, is it?
It's not long at all. Yeah.
So, okay.
There you go.
Couple more comics I picked up. I was going through my list. Army at Love. Has anyone ever read that?
No, I've heard about that one, though.
They say that war is hell, but that's because you haven't signed on with the military of the future, where top priorities are motivation, moral, sure. We're bogged down with some dust. It's basically a lot of shagging in a war book. Quite a lot of shagging, actually, to be fair. Yeah. The first page I opened was a woman bending a man over. The Luna Brothers. Do you have anyone read any of their books?
The sword, is that
yes, that was the one they did after this one I'm about to mention, actually. Yeah. Which I like this stuff. Yeah.
Haven't they stopped working together? Is that what
I think? You're right. Yeah,
they fell out, didn't they? Yeah.
It's a little bit computer. If you looked at it, you think, oh, it's a bit computer generated, but it actually works really well. And Girls is about a load of eggs were sort of laid in a village, I think, in a town in America, and they hatch, and there's loads of naked women in them who basically run around trying to kill everyone and have sex with the men. And then they lay eggs once again, and awful lot of nudity in that. I don't know whether it's perhaps needed, but it works quite well. It makes a nude woman quite frightening, which I've always believed in for a long time.
That's pretty much one of those strong concept comics that kind of you'd pitch someone on about, yeah, that sounds good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were a lot of those image titles like that, and I'm not knocking them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for instance, a lot of people bring up Sex Criminals. What do you? I mean, that is a very, the picture that's quite short, isn't it? Really, I know that.
Yeah. I read the first trade. Everyone's quite into that.
I still have not read it. I know those two also did have written a book about sex and sexual positions.
Have they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think because they had they were using all those different, they were making up terms, and they had like the glossary in the back and stuff.
Like Supermaning.
Yeah. Like they just basically collected it into a book and expanded on it.
Yeah. I'm obviously a big fan of the Reverse Blumpkin and the Alabama Hot Pocket.
Blumpkin is fucking disgusting. That is fucking. Superman's like an amusing prank compared to that. Bolting.
Yeah. Do not Google it, people. Do not Google it.
Do not Google it. We know you are.
Yeah.
It's weird because I looked up a comic at work this week, and I got like the message saying, oh, this site is blocked because of X, Y, and Z. And I think they've done that. Must have been in the past month or so at my work, because they didn't have any restrictions on it before then.
You've basically just been doing naughty things, haven't you, Dan?
Yeah.
All the time.
Is it because of you?
Yeah, Amateur is generally blocked at most people's works, I think. It's fine.
Yeah.
Because I went on to like a random number generator, and it said, oh, this site is considered gambling. The IT team would be notified.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, well, fuck them. I know the IT team. So they're going to get pulled up for going on a random number generator.
Yeah. They're too busy Googling Blumpkins.
That was one of them commented earlier this week. I was taking the piss out of that comic convention.
Yeah.
Because will there be people in costume at this? Because basically it was just the whole board was people telling me what cosplay they was going to be dressed as. Someone missed it because they posted, I'm going to be going as Deadpool. I was like, you and a lot of other people.
Oh, really? Deadpool cosplay, original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't
seen that.
So you're going to stand out from the crowd doing that.
Yeah,
I mean the Deadpool movie had a lot in it, and to be fair, I often see Harley Quinn as sort of DC's Deadpool in many ways.
Yeah,
you know, they sort of the fast talking, meta sort of break the fourth wall kind of characters, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know, Harley Quinn is pretty sexualized, but she's a woman who sort of carries it off with quite a lot of strength and personality. I suppose, I don't know, is that fair to say?
I feel a lot of ways that Harley Quinn is the Emperor's New Clothes.
Right, okay.
I feel like on a different day, that'd be the character that these people would be complaining about. And she's doesn't seem to have a lot of attributes that in other characters they would find deplorable, but it seems like there's a very much, it feels like an ownership by the readers for that character, and it feels
well,
like very
there
much
was, there was certainly a lot of criticisms when the new 52 came about and Harley Quinn was, you know, they redesigned her. I remember that kicked off a bit as well because she was all of a sudden like over sexualized herself from what she was before.
Yeah, it's part of a, the way it's written though, it's part of a, she's not just some woman, oh, I'm going to put a girl in a bikini, give her a sword and then write a comic about her. You know, to me it's almost, that's her personality as well.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of crazy, aggressive, you know, but, you know, sexual creature.
Mm. They kind of, I've seen attitudes expressed of sort of like the kind of, her being in a kind of an abusive relationship with a Joker, and then they sort of like, well, that's kind of like me and my partner, and it's like, what the fuck? Why would you ever consider that a good thing? It's really not. But then the other flip side, people see it as like her, she's been a survivor of abuse and come through it, which is commendable. I mean, I can't really knock that as a kind of character arc.
Have any of you read The Pro?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis and Amanda Connor. Connor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bit where, is she wanking off a Superman character?
She's performing fellatio on him.
That's it. And then he says, move your head for God's sake. And then he does his business and it knocks a plane out of the air and knocks its wing off or something.
Yeah. And he flies up to save it. And one of the kids looks out the window and goes, Mommy, look. And he hasn't had a chance to pull his trousers up. So,
see, but going into that book, you know exactly what you're getting. It's not like it pretends to be a Marvel or DC book, is it? It's like, this is a grown-up's comedy book.
And I'll tell you what, the cues for Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, because they always sit together, they're a couple, aren't they?
Yeah.
Around the block at every convention I ever go to. So popular.
Yeah.
You know.
But and that they do book has got with a bit heart with it.
It really has, yeah.
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 Yeah, definitely. Okay.
On the Twitter, just want to give a shout out to fellow Podbean podcast, Stacey's Parlour. Parlour.
Yeah.
She gave us a view. She said, I mostly hate sex in media because unless it's 100% necessary to the plot, i.e. sex criminals, you can totally allude to sex without embarrassing me on a bus journey with a sex scene coming out of nowhere. It feels especially weird when it's in a fairly otherwise safe comic, film, show, etc. That being said, I'm asexual, so sex scenes do nout for me. Now, I just got to say, Stacey, a sexual what?
Come on, that's fucking terrible. I'll tell you what, I've mentioned it before, but the Jessica Jones sex scene with Luke Cage, I was just kind of like, what's this? This is happening?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
It's completely emotionless. No, there's no anything there. It was just like, it was akin to like a fight scene with two people standing in front of each other, taking turns to punch each other in the face. This like flat shot on, it's just like,
it's but okay. It's I think hasn't one of the writers said yes, it was bum sex. I think he said that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he might have done. Yeah.
He probably said it a bit classier.
Yeah, I think he probably did. You know,
he didn't just go, it's it was bum sex.
Have you seen the second
forward for a
a
first time?
Yeah, yeah, first date. I always go
in
straight
my
there.
Experience.
Yeah.
When in Rome.
Well, speaking of Rome, have you seen the second 300 movie?
Yes.
No, where they have sex in that boat.
About it.
Yeah, it's not a great movie, but the guy in it has sex with Eva Green, and they have this sort of aggressive sort of throwing each other about sex, you know, consensual, obviously. But and it sort of parallels the fight of the film. So the to and fro, almost one person's winning, one person's winning, one person's on top, one person, etc., sort of parallels the action of the movie, which I thought was an interesting idea that wasn't really worth a wank, but, you know.
gave it your best anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So,
I'd say Sex Criminals, I have read the first trade. I wasn't feeling it, I've got to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be so much more, and it said Sex Criminals. I thought it was going to be sort of this huge sort of more cocky and, excuse the phrase, sort of magical sort of story, and it just turned into people who can stop time when they do a jizz.
Once again, Tony magical. Esmond, modern poet.
Thank you.
Available for weddings, bar mitzvahs.
Better not invite me to weddings, though, eh? Yeah,
probably.
Maybe not. Funerals. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Just ask Chris Wild Goose and Laura Trinder.
Got plenty of jokes about stiffies.
Well,
Okay.
Steve's just sitting there thinking, what have I got?
Why am I here? Yeah.
But yes, I think there's a lot of sort of opinions about sex. I mean, it's a very broad subject, essentially.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, we got a bit of feedback by some people saying it's a very broad subject, and we thought, yeah, but it's worth, you know, we chat about it. We could say, oh, what's your feeling about erections in comics? You know, we probably get four replies, but in the sort of the vein of wanting to invite people on, you know, to have a talk about it, you know, interact, it was sort of quite an interesting thing.
And
obviously, sex makes you laugh, doesn't it?
It does.
Hilarious.
It does. Not always during, hopefully.
No, it's usually getting laughed at.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. I just like to be laughed at.
That's
I think there's something to be said for the fact that comics aren't that easy to come across. You know, people getting offended about comics as well. It's like sexy comics. Like, if you can type in less than one word and find sex on the internet.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you've got to go out your way to find a comic, and even further out your way to find a comic that's got something that might be considered offensive to look at.
So. Where do you go in a high street to find a comic? Probably a charity shop's about the most reliable place these days.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Like you say, Dan, it's a small people, you know, a small group of people who actually don't read comics, but they like to complain about them a lot.
Yeah.
Go complain about something that matters, you know.
Yeah. Like this show.
Thank you.
But I don't get to see the emails, so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do you.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I think this has been successful first. We're going to return to this subject, I think, definitely.
Going to come back.
Yeah,
I've got a couple more people. Sorry. We're not winding up yet, are we? I've got a couple more people to mention.
No, we've got a couple more things. For instance, I've got the final poll.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
The most important one. And also, I have a brilliant story by Alan Henderson.
All right. Oh, you're going to... Yeah, you haven't shared this with us, have you?
No.
Yeah.
But we joked about it on the last show, and then I thought, well, let's actually ask people, shall we? So we asked the serious questions, but now it's time for the real poll. Have you ever had sex at / during a comic convention? And I said, be honest, folks. I did sort of WhatsApp the guy saying, can I put this as an answer?
We had which is pointless because you knew what we'd say.
Yeah. Now... we had four choices. Hell yes, I'm an animal. No, cons are sacred. Oral, all the way, baby. And what is this sex thing? there were your choices. Right, in last place, with 6%, was oral, all the way, baby.
Oh, really? Oh, well, yeah. I like a bit of oral. I wouldn't put that in last place, ever.
In third was, hell yes, I'm an animal.
Yeah, Lamming. How many times do you vote, Lamming?
The filthy bastard. In second place with 26%. Right, so we've got no, and what is this sex thing? Which one do you think was the winner?
What is this sex thing? Oh
dear. Right, with 26% in second place was no, cons are sacred. So 47% of the people that voted, what is this sex thing?
You've got to love our listeners, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got to love them. And I might be writing to all those people and asking if I can borrow a fiver.
Oh dear. And I must give a shout out. Jenny O'Blad, she put, she wishes she could pick more than one option. Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah. And... a big shout out to Matthew Tiberius, I don't think that's his real middle name, Simmons, who made my day with his answer. I have had sex during a convention. I wasn't at it. I may have been at home or possibly at the park. At the park!
Well, the answer.
Oh, God.
I'm bringing back fingering at the park anyway, we all know that.
Oh.
See, I voted no, cons are sacred on that one. But
I knew you wrote that. I knew
it was more just
that.
No rather than cons are sacred. I don't particularly believe that, but you know, I've been with my wife since before I started doing comics, so you know, that sort of thing's off the table. Although There was one time, this is the closest that I've ever come to it. One time when I was sat with Gareth Brooks again, and I was really hungover, really tired. And one thing that I do with Julie, my wife, a bit is put my hand on a thigh and give it a sort of reassuring rub. And just not thinkingly, I did that to Gareth.
He found it quite comforting knowing Gareth.
Yeah, no, he looked at me a bit strangely, but he didn't stop me. So you know,
time to come. We've been together a long time. Yeah,
you know, it was the Web and Mini Comics thing. It was a different time.
Yeah. But you know Ed, my old mucko. In fact, me, you, and Ed and Gareth shared a table one year at Bristol.
Yeah, that was my first ever con, the Brighton one that you were.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Let us share on. Yeah.
Yeah. But Ed's funny because he. Do you know when they do the sleepwalking in Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wondering how it's like walking like robots, saying "Where's the orange juice?" and all this sort of thing. You know, Ed has got a habit of doing sleepwalking, and I remember being woken up in the night with him going, "What's happening?" like that, and I'm fucking, "You're in your pants, Ed. Go back to bed." He went, "Oh, okay." That's about the nearest I've ever come.
Oh dear.
Close shave.
Yeah.
Close shave. Oh, that sounds like a sex move. Anyway. Yeah, right. Thank you to everyone that got in touch and answered our silly polls, gave us some serious answers, sent us some brilliant emails as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is quite a wide subject, but I think at the end of the day, it all depends on the individual. But I think it's all about context and responsibility. Which,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's...
Yeah, no. Ken Reynolds wrote in and he said sex is a touchy subject for some people and we appreciate that. You probably won't be listening to this if you've listened to it before, if that's your opinion. But yeah, some people it's a difficult thing to talk about, isn't it, I think? Yeah.
I would say from the kind of the poll results and generally what we've discussed, a lot of people kind of are very underwhelmed with sex as portrayed in a lot of comics. And
yeah. I mean, I think because we've got the internet now, so, you know, people who want to see something a little bit saucy, they don't go to comics, do they? You know, they go to, I don't know, apparently you can get internet on the internet, you can get pornography on the internet, I've heard. Yeah. But in the old days, you had things like Tijuana Bibles, and, you know, you actually had erotic comics that purely were there to titillate and, you know, to get people off, I suppose.
And they're still there if you know where to look, apparently.
Rick Jackson wrote in, he said he looked sex for sex's sake. He says isn't worth it. He's, you know, is that worth mentioning? You know, when does it go? And I think the important point is, when does it go from being art to pornography? You know, which is like something he asks, and I think that's very true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just purely just for pornography, then you just get on with it. You know, I don't care. You can do it if you like, as long as you're not crossing any sort of illegal barriers.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, I think one of the big differences is when you get to the independent and the small press and those sort of things, they tell it in a lot more context because it's not all, for those creators out there, it's not about clickbait. It's not about getting an article on the latest because, you know, some of the big, that this much, you know, the bad press they get is still press. We're talking about this Batman page, which looks like a piece of fan art, when really it doesn't, if you think about it, it doesn't really deserve to be talked about because it's just, it's not doing anything. But, you know, maybe sometimes they use these things as a promotional tool. You know, what is going to get people talking about this book that otherwise no one would talk about? Let's have these two characters having sex. It's like, no, it shouldn't be about that. It sort of lessens the characters. Whereas I think because they don't have that pressure, whether it be autobiographical or like, you know, a fantasy story or whatever, when it's the independent and the small press, you're freed up to do it how it should be done, how it deserves to be done. And I think most creators who are doing it in those areas certainly do it a lot better, I would say. They're a lot more responsible, and it's integral to the story or what they're doing and their audience, you know. So that's my
opinion. Matt Strott wrote me quite a lengthy email, like obviously well thought out, and he says with individual freedom comes individual responsibility, and he's right about that. That's exactly right, isn't it? You know, you got to be responsible about what you write and what you create.
I mean this topic could have quite easily been about violence. You know, it could have been, you know,
exactly. Or any areas of, you know, any areas of human behavior.
Yeah.
You know, anger, you know, sadness. It can be anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Things don't necessarily have to parallel each other. They're just part of sort of life's rich tapestry, aren't they?
Yeah. I certainly think that we should talk about violence in comics. I mean, seeing that result, of the poll spoke for itself, that a lot more people are shocked. I mean, Steve, you said it yourself, you know, The Walking Dead, you know, it completely turned you off of comic violence.
Yeah.
But does sex do that? You know, sex might not necessarily do that. You might think, well, you know, there was that was pointless, but it won't necessarily stop you reading it, whereas violence is probably more likely to put you off a comic.
And even more than that, really bad artwork.
That'll kill you every time.
I've to back you up though, Vince. Say thanks to everyone who wrote in. We had some like Mike Lee, Kevin Cooling, Simon Russell. Some people wrote in. Sarah Harris wrote in some really great stuff.
Yeah,
some really intelligent. No one on our Facebook page got into a stupid argument, which I'm so pleased about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's why we love our listeners. It's a discussion. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, we're not ranting at each other. And everyone is respectful and has their own opinions, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So keep it up, folks. Oh, pardon the pun. to sign off this topic for this week, because I'm sure it's still come back, Alan Henderson, he sent us another email about a topic, and thank you very much for that. And I just wanted to highlight this story, which I'm going to tell for you now. from Alan himself. Several years back, my wife and I had the privilege of taking Mike Kaluta out for lunch in New York City. We'd established a friendship over discussing The Shadow. Fair play.
He's a big Shadow fan, isn't he? Yeah, huge Shadow, yeah.
Mike brought with him writer Elaine Lee, perhaps best known for Starstruck. I let Elaine know that I own both volumes of her book, Skin Tight, Orbit, which is an erotic sci-fi comic anthology. Elaine told us that she'd been cleaning her teenage son's bedroom and found a copy of said book that clearly he hadn't intended her to find. She took great delight in telling her son that one of the artists, it might have been Phil Winslade, had based one of the sexy androids on her.
Oh, no.
If he'd been thinking about the naked android, he'd been thinking about her. I assume the kid is still in therapy.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I mean, I have to say, I've got a 19-year-old son who I visited at the university today, and I am the epitome of embarrassing father. But that is gutsome. Oh, dear.
I mean, that's to the point where it brings up fucking issues in later life.
I gave my son a copy of Officer Down, the trade paperback.
Yeah.
And he said, why is he called Officer Down? And I know why. And if anyone reads that comic knows why. It's because he does something where he has to go down on the first page. But I couldn't say that to my son, could I? And I just literally just changed the subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I look forward to those moments when my son grows up a little more.
Yeah. You can never lose it. Yeah.
My daddy, when he was like in my teenage years, obviously massively disembarrassed by everything going on around me. If he'd come and meet me somewhere, he'd like pull his trousers up extra high, so, like walk along and like put on a silly face, just to fucking. And obviously, it's hilarious now, and I'm going to do it to my son at some point. Yeah. But at the time, it's fucking mortifying.
It explains so much.
Put it now.
Yeah. Oh dear, rocking the Simon Cowell look, amazing.
Yeah. And did you notice throughout that we gave no shit? Oh, we gave a little bit of shit to Mark Lamming, didn't we? Yeah. I know he's listening, expecting. Oh, here we go. Green skin women, Russian brides, the usual jokes, and we didn't do them.
Oh dear.
Still got Nottingham this weekend, though, so still time.
Yeah, it's very true. That's up and coming. We'll get to that later.
Talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, but first,
yep.
Steve.
Yes.
We've been privy to your new book, which is quite marvellous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Untitled Apes Epic Adventure. Now, it's awesome. I loved it. But for all of those people out there who don't know what this is, tell us a bit more about it.
Okay, well, Untitled Ape is the main character, and people struggle a bit with that title. And I know it's completely stupid and it doesn't make sense, but it's something that sort of stuck from a long time ago. Is sort of character, the other character in the story is Untitled Cat. And that came from a comic strip a long time ago where it was just this, it was like the same sort of character. It was a horrible drawing of this cat. And when someone was talking about it in a comment, they said, oh, I like that Untitled Cat one. So then he became Untitled Cat, even though it was kind of illogical and stupid. You know, it's deliberately sort of illogical. Yeah. So when I did these other characters, there's another character in an earlier sort of version called Untitled Ghost, where he's like following this ghost, and then Untitled Ape as well. So it kind of made sense at the time, and it was a bit of an ironic title really when I started it, because I started it as a webcomic sort of ages ago, back in beginning of 2011, and you know, I didn't really think much about it. I just, yeah, bang it out. It's okay, but yeah. Doesn't really make any sense, but you know, it's one of these things that sticks. But in terms of the story, Untitled Ape is this purple ghost beast gorilla thing who's friends with Untitled Cat, and he decides he needs to go to the jungle to see his family because he's had a nightmare and he wants to make sure they're safe. But he's been through a lot. He's got a really dark past, and you know, basically he was in hell for a while. This is kind of the source of his magic, and the story follows them as they try to get from, they kind of basically start off in a kind of English type meadow, and they need to go to the jungle, and they sort of travel across the world, and they're coming across various people, and you know, getting into scrapes and stuff. But then his time in hell sort of starts to catch up with him as well. So that kind of adds a bit of intrigue to the story, I think.
Yeah. He also can't fly, which was my favourite scene, where he sort of decides he can fly and then can't. Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, it gives it a go, but. Yeah. Yeah, because Ape's like, the two characters, Ape's like nice but dim, you know, he's kind of, and Cat's a bit more, he's a bit more sort of obnoxious, a bit more forthright, but like everything is, Cat's always objecting to stuff, but in the end, he gets overruled like pretty much throughout the whole.
Well, Cat is introduced because he can't, he's looking for his packet of fags and he can't get to them.
Yeah,
Yeah, and they're in a tree trunk, and I just love that. As soon as I really responded to him as a character.
he reminds me a little bit of what if they did Rocket Raccoon, but he was a bit of a sort of greedy bloke from the north of England, which I kind of liked, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain characters, you know, he's got a bit of my brother in there, and you know, that's sort of forthrightness, yeah.
So yeah, how did it all, I mean, because this is a longer form story, isn't it? I mean, it's
much longer than normal for you, isn't it?
It's the first sort of full length thing I've done, but yeah, like I say, I started it as a webcomic back in the day, and it was just like literally doing it page, you know, just doing it page after page and seeing where it went, and then I sort of got a bit bored with it, to be honest, and you know, started doing other things and different projects that I've not really finished. But then a couple of years ago, Avery Hill sort of, we were chatting after, because Avery Hill published Manly Boys and Comely Girls.
Yep.
And we were sort of chatting about other stuff, and I said I've got this kind of half done thing, and you know, I developed a bit more, and the good thing about, you know, taking ages over a story is that you can go back and kind of tweak things and add things to the story and different sort of, you know, offshoots of the story that weren't really there before. So I've kind of rejigged it right from the start, really, and sort of redone the webcomic and, yeah, done it into a full-length story.
Because this is no small feat. This is a long comic that's fully coloured. Is it coloured in Photoshop, or did you paint it, or...?
It's Photoshop, yeah.
Right.
It is a ball ache, yeah. So basically, I'd be. It's funny because, like, when you talked about it a few weeks ago, you were saying, "Oh, it's like, you know, there's sort of surreal and psychedelic elements," and you sort of mentioned drugs or something. It's like,
yeah.
I'm sitting there drawing this on my lunch hour at work.
Yeah,
oh, and yeah. I read it on the train.
You're not really a drug taking kind of bloke.
No,
years or so, Steve. You know, that's not how you strike me, my friend. Yeah.
No. But yeah, this comes from sitting at work on my lunch hour drawing it, and, you know, writing, thinking about it on the bus and the train and stuff. But yeah,
no, I genuinely think it's my favourite. And you know, I love your stuff. I've got a picture of yours on the wall in front of me, and I think this is your best thing so far, by far. Yeah, yeah. Really good. Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm really pleased with it. I mean, I can't wait for it to be sort of out, because I've not really done anything. Like, I stopped sort of publishing comics. You know, that I was doing, you know, and doing cons under my own back.
Yeah.
A few years ago, just because it was kind of, it was a bit disheartening, just, and like making comics and, you know, getting a pound here and there profit over years and years is an absolute terrible business model. So, it was about time that I did something a bit more sort of full length, you know, a bit more robust and something that can sort of, you know, be proud of. And, you know, I'm really happy with it.
Speaking to Kat and David and Ricky, they're over the moon with it, and rightly so, it looks great.
Yeah,
how did you hook up at the start with Avery Hill? Because I know you'd published and republished something with them before, but how did that relationship begin?
Yeah, I mean, that was it, really. I think it was Gareth that mentioned republishing Manly Boys. And we'd always had the idea to do Comely Girls as the follow-up to Manly Boys. And we were going to do it, like, the year after as the the sort of sequel. But the way things go, it was like, it must have been sort of 5 or 6 years after in the end. But because Avery Hill wanted to republish Manly Boys, then, you know, we thought, well, let's do something, you know, with that as well. And that's where the relationship started, really, you know, and, you know, talking to them at cons and stuff. But, I mean, Avery Hill are great. You know, the quality of the books and stuff is always...
Yeah, they are great guys. We really love them here, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then were you in the Observer competition? Is it the short comic fiction competition they run, or...?
Yeah, that was another thing that sort of, got the ball rolling on doing a book as well. Yeah, it was the... What's it called? The Observer Jonathan Cape Graphic Short Story Prize. And yeah, I came runner up in that in 2012. So again, that kind of gives you an idea of how long it's taken to do. And that's not because I've slaved over it every single day. You know.
Yeah, you got a life and a job outside of it as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah,
but I mean that got me a bit of sort of attention and stuff, and like I say, people were sort of looking to me to sort of say, well, have you got a book in you, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I thought this would be the most viable thing to do. But
I remember you telling me, I think I saw you at Thought Bubble year before last, and you were saying that you'd just written some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff as well, hadn't you?
Cool. Yeah, I mean, that was good, but that was a very short-lived thing. I think I was right in the middle of it just when I spoke to you, and I think I just got my first one accepted. That was for the Panini UK comic, based on the CG animation cartoon, which was actually really good. I really enjoyed it, and I was getting really into it, and I'd had one published, and I was kind of in negotiations with them. You know, I was coming up with ideas for more, and then they just sort of knocked that on the head. They were like, we're passing all the story back to US or something.
Okay, yeah, I think they're a bit like that, from what I understand. Yeah, that's a shame. I know you were really enjoying it. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
Sometimes it's nice not to draw something that you're writing as well, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, for you.
I think it was 6 pages, the script, and I got paid £300 for it. And was just writing. I didn't have to draw it or anything. It's so easy. And, you know, I'd be writing these things that were really hard to draw, and I'm just like, someone else has to deal with that. I don't care.
I always wondered if artists, when they became writers, got a little kind of a bit of a sadistic streak.
I think so. Yeah. Here's a crowd scene. Here's a crowd scene full of horses.
Ten warriors came over the horizon. It's like, no, 100 warriors on horses.
And all the horses have got human hands and feet.
Yeah.
So what's the timescale for it coming out now? Release dates and stuff like that for Untitled Ape?
Yeah, Thought Bubble is the big launch, and it's online. It's actually available to pre-order now.
Yep.
So you can get a nice little booklet with it if you buy it from Avery Hill, which is obviously good to support a publisher rather than getting it through Amazon or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to be at Thought Bubble signing and being there for the big launch. So looking forward to that.
They always have a big push around Thought Bubble, and I think they do really well at it, don't they?
Yeah.
Have you got any other conventions planned around it, or?
No, not really. I mean, it's kind of coming to the end of convention season now, isn't it? If that's,
yeah, I would just love to sit next to you at an MCM. I think that would just make my year hearing the comments you would have. I mean, having sat next to you a couple of years running at Bristol, we did have quite a laugh to sitting there. But yeah, I quite like to see that, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That reminds me, actually, one other thing about conventions that you didn't really mention is kind of from the early days of what we experienced back then to now. Like, there's a lot more women and girls involved in attending those comics and, making comics than there was. Because, like, in the early days, like, I remember Brighton, and it was, like, greasy black-haired boys in the leather jackets. And it was, like, 90% of people were those greasy boys. But nowadays, it's like you're more likely to see a girl than a bloke or a lot of stuff. And that's...
You almost are, aren't you? Yeah. It's a real shame, isn't it?
That could only be a good thing.
Yeah. Who let these people in here?
Well, it depends on your target audience, I suppose.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Mine was just sort of... I just did a series of angry shouting at people comics, so didn't really have an audience, but that's fine. We don't write to the audience, do we, I suppose. Yeah. What's next, Steve? What you got planned next, mate?
I'm going to have a bit of a break, to be honest. I'm just sort of thinking about things. I mean, I've got... because this has been, like, quite intense, getting it done for Thought Bubble. So, like, last few months I've just been really cracking on with the weekends and stuff. So I think up until Christmas I'm going to have a bit of a think and just doodle in a sketchbook and see what happens. But
Avery Hill money just to start rolling in.
Something like that. But like my wife actually, she's helped me out with a few, she's been really helpful with constructive criticism with the book and a bit of dialogue and that sort of thing. And,
oh, cool.
You know, I think we've got a few ideas of collaborating together on some things.
Is that a good idea with your partner? I don't know. Is that a make or break situation?
It could be. It could be.
You live for danger. I know that, Steve. Yeah.
I've got to draw it. So ultimately, I'll have the final.
Yeah, that's
I'll have the final word.
I see that working out for the best.
Go to Avery Hill, buy this book. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, if you're going to Thought Bubble, really I know a lot of the people listening will probably be going to Thought Bubble either as exhibitors or visitors. Definitely stop by the Avery Hill table and
real highlight for theirs as well. Their cat, I think, definitely.
And meet Steve in person. You're going to be there all weekend, are you, Steve?
Yep, should be.
if he's there, definitely pick this book up because it's awesome and a proper good laugh. So I can see it doing well at Thought Bubble as well.
Yeah, I can definitely. And then probably will you do LCAF or anything like that? Do you think, Steve? Maybe later in the year, next year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's kind of what Avery wants to do. Really, I'm not gonna do it off my own back, but I'm happy to work with Avery and see what.
Yeah.
See what's coming up. So
nice one.
I'm open to all sorts.
Yeah, we'll fly you to America. It'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, cool.
What's this wee business?
Yeah, I mean you.
Yeah, so definitely check it out, folks. It's a quality one. Nice, and thank you for telling us a bit more about it because I always wondered how that crazy sort of ape thing came to be. Speaking of craziness. Dan, are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Ooh. Okay.
It is that time of the week where it is Action Dan. I really do need a theme tune for this, don't I? anyone listening to us will know, but for those who don't know, Dan Butcher has said that he's a massive fan of 80s action movies.
Yeah.
And he claimed to know quite a lot about them.
Yeah.
Didn't you, Dan? Yeah. You started to back out.
I'm sure it's going to be put to the test today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't last week because I asked the question. But this week we have our first listener question from Lucas Kowalczyk.
Oh yeah, cool. He's a good guy, isn't he? Yeah, good he does Lucas, great
yeah.
comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every week we want you listeners to send us some action trivia questions and answers, please, because I certainly probably won't know the answer. And if you stump Dan Butcher, he'll just do a random sketch, just a funny little dude.
Oh yeah.
Who knows what you'll get? So so there you go. So the first one is Lucas Kowalczyk. So would you like to know the question, Dan?
Go for it. How would you rate this on a scale of 1 to 10 for difficulty?
He asked 3, to be honest. And I think I've gone for the easiest one.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
But that's not to say that you won't be stumped.
Okay, go for it.
Which 80s movie with Van Damme, it's another Van Damme question, was adapted as a comic book?
Oh, that's a difficult one.
Isn't it from a comic book?
No, adapted as
a comic book. As a comic book.
Yeah, so it had a comic book adaption.
I think I know this one.
Would it be Street Fighter 2?
That wasn't the 80s.
Okay.
You can have one more go. Go on. Think about it.
That has got me. Universal Soldier?
Oh.
There was a Universal Soldier comic, yeah.
But was that the 80s? I thought it was early 90s.
I don't know. That would come under the umbrella of that, but go on.
The answer he has...
Can I try?
Go on,
Tony.
I know Time Cop was a comic, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a comic that was adapted as a film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
The answer he has is Cyborg.
Oh, okay. Really? Yeah. I was going to say that.
It was published by Canon Video Comics, and it's on his list of good, bad comics. He said, you probably know this, Cyborg is based on a script of the second Master of the Universe movie that never happened. Did you know that?
Yeah, we found that out recently, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is evidence that I need to send you because the pictures he sent me are absolutely sublime. So he has the comic.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, so there you go. So obviously,
I better get sketching.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations, Lucas. Who knows what the picture will be that you'll get, but... yes,
he does Reckless Wrestlers, which is the most mentally good comic.
Yeah,
absolute Reckless Wrestlers with V's. Yeah. Yeah, really good. Yeah, well worth a look. Have a look at his stuff.
So there you superb. Go, folks. There you go, folks. Dan may not know.
It's one correct, one fail.
Yep.
Yeah, 50-50. 50-50. Yeah. Yeah, next week's the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a question that isn't Van Damme. And
okay.
Yeah, see, here we go.
Yeah, yeah, non Van Damme.
Yeah. Do we have any shout-outs?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Popped into Spartown Comics today, the Royal Priors Shopping Centre in Leamington Spa, and saw Dan and his better half. And I bought a great Hellblazer trade, which is very good value. Really looking forward to Leamington Spa Comic Con. That's going to be a blast. If you're in the area of Leamington Spa, pop into the Royal Priors, see Dan, and have a look at his comics. He's got really good back issues as well, actually. I was surprised, back issues on a stall. Great stuff. Very good. Yeah, pop in and see him. The other one is Sliced Quarterly is currently on Kickstarter, and I'm in it, so it's probably going to be brilliant because the bits other than my bit. And I've just sort of written an introduction for it, and it is really good. Ken is absolutely head of the class around sort of experimental comics in this country, as far as I'm concerned. And it's about halfway. Could do with a little bit of a kick, I think, on Kickstarter, if you see what I mean. But go over and have a look at it. Really, really good. Yeah, that's my one.
Awesome. Dan, do you have any?
I don't know. My mind's gone completely blank.
mine does every week as well.
Yeah. I suppose we should mention Nottingham as well, shouldn't we?
We should.
Well, we shouldn't. We don't have to, but we are going to be there. Dan, unfortunately, can't make it.
No, I can't make it, unfortunately.
Very sad.
But me and Vince are going to be there. We'll be doing some interviews. We've also got a panel, which we were still waiting to hear about, but we think is going to be called Why Small Press, which should be quite interesting. Yeah. We had a big chat about that early in the week. And so please pop down and see our panel and have a laugh. We'll try and curb the language. You might have to have a swear box on the table at the front, I think, because it's a family show. But
okay.
Yeah, it's a great show. A one-day event, Nottingham Comic Con, which, as you hear this, will be next Saturday. Really worth it.
Saturday the 29th, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, I think, yep.
Yeah.
Pop down, go to the website. Kevin's a star, and we'll be doing... There's a load of names. Christian Wild Goose is there, all the Improper Comics. Lamming's there, loads of top small press people. Reckless Hero. Avery Hill are guests there as well. So that should be good. Pop down. It'd be an absolute blast. And we're going to the pub afterwards, so pop along and meet us there. There you go.
Nice one.
It's going to be a sexy time.
Yep.
Speaking of sexy times, do we have any quick recommendations to give anyone?
Yes, I'll go for it. Dark Matter 2, which I received this week. It's a preview copy to review. The review will be going up this week. It's by Sidesy, Chris Sides. He's written it all with Chris Travell. That's their sort of baby. Really, really quality stuff. Oh my God, absolutely brilliant. Awesome. The rollover by Chris Sides and Paul Moore is just a brilliant sort of crime story. Chris Travell does the artwork on it, an absolutely brilliant sort of southern noir twist in the tale. Really atmospheric story. And I think, to be fair, being friends of his, but knowing his artwork as well as I do, and collaborating with him, I think Matt Harrow absolutely knocks it out of the park in his story. He does a sort of science fiction thing. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant stuff. That'll be coming out. I think it's MCM Birmingham. It's going to get released at. But if you keep an eye on Down the Tube this week, Dark Matter 2 will be reviewed. And there's a load of images from it. But it just gets better and better. The second issue is a lot better than the first issue. And the first issue was great. So have a look out for that. There you go.
Nice. I'll definitely have to pick that up. The first issue was great. Yeah.
Sides, he's a top bloke as well. Yeah. And Mr. Travell. Both good guys.
Yeah. Top stuff. Dan, what would you like to recommend?
Because it's the sex episode, I've got a sex webcomic to recommend.
Oh, yeah. You sent me this. Yeah.
Oglaf.com. This is Oglaf. It's really amusing. Like I said, loads of sex, loads of amusing situations. Definitely not one to check out at work. But there's a lot of webcomics I read that kind of try to be funny. This one is genuinely funny. I can read some stuff out of context, but there's one character, basically, he's kind of like a servant serf to kind of this evil queen that's kind of all in her kingdom. Everyone's having sex, but she's forbidden him to do it. And he's kind of got this curse on him. If he does ejaculate, his sperm like becomes a little kind of character and runs off and tells her. And there's one episode where he gets kidnapped, and then every day these things are turning up, telling her that he's masturbated again. So, on that,
my idea of hell.
No, exactly. There's a sequence where he's kind of like jarring them up in the cupboard, and they're all telling him off for being naughty. It's pretty good. Yeah, really, really, really funny. So read that one, check it out.
Yeah. The art's quite good as well.
It's really good.
Yeah, it confused me a bit. I didn't really know. There's two gay characters who said, let's do hetero sex. And you're saying, what's hetero sex? Yeah, but there you go.
It's kind of like, there'd be like some ongoing stories, but then one comic, there'd be three pages, another one. Yeah, it kind of jumps around, but you can kind of essentially just jump in at any point and read away.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Go for it.
I've just got a couple of quick ones. One also a sexy book, the Sunstone books from Image and Top Cow, from the artist, I hope I get this right, it's Stefan Sejic, I believe.
Good luck on that one. I've never tried to say his name.
Yeah, it's but I will say this: he's an absolutely astonishing artist. He does a lot of funny sort of one-off sort of comics anyway, about like sort of mainstream characters. But this is one of his series. He's also done other things like Death Vigil and stuff like that for Image. But Sunstone is very much, it's an erotic romantic comedy, which is
like about, my life.
Yeah, very much. Which is that crossed with on the buses. No, Now, this is about two women who are in a sort of dealing with their relationship and sex and fetishism, because it's a lot of it's based around the BDSM sort of movement. But at the same time, it's not gratuitous. It's not you don't have to be into that to get this story, and that's what I like about it. It's more of a relationship book.
Here we go, making excuses. No.
Well, if nothing else, it's just a really well written story, and the artwork's superb. Yeah. And he's got five volumes of it.
Spanking each other. With
yeah, but in a classy way. No. It's a good book. I definitely recommend checking that out. And also, Jen Yilblad, when we give the shout out, she brought up Limerence Press. Have you heard of them?
Oh yeah, no. I sort of brought this up. Yeah, I know. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
they're an imprint of Oni Press. I didn't know they existed, but they publish quality erotic and sex education comics that reflect a wide variety of emotional and intimate experiences. So it's not just sex comics, you know, they're educational comics as well. And they look great, you know, just looking on their Twitter and their website and stuff. There's one that's called Oh Joy Sex Toy, which looks quite funny. So that I recommend checking those out. Because that's what I love about this show as well. We put the shout out, and then people are sort of, you know, telling us about stuff that we've never heard of before.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's great. So broaden your minds, people. Broaden your minds.
Yeah,
that's what we normally do, as well as disgust you. There you go.
Plumpkin you.
Oh, the smashing Blumpkins. Was that an awful pun? Well, there's several different ways that you can tell me that it was.
Oh, God.
And thank you. If there's anything that we missed out, if you want, let us know what you thought of the show and what you thought of Steve's book, which is brilliant. There's several different ways you can do it. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Anything else that you want to talk about? Events that people may not know about? tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll probably just announce what next week's show will be. And more. And likewise on the Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where people have really sort of come alive on that and got involved whenever we've given a shout out about the topics. So
they have, yeah. It's really good at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think we're gaining a few listeners as we go along with it as well, which is really good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, tell your mates, tell your family, tell everyone.
Gran.
We're Granny's favourite show. And she probably checked us out on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If she listened to us on iTunes, she probably left us a lovely review.
So smooth.
So you should be like Gran and leave us a nice review.
Oh, fuck. You're running with it. Going really well.
I am. I've gone method. Leave us a nice review on iTunes and tell everyone about us. And thank you very much if you listen to us on Stitcher or on the Podnose Network. We appreciate every single one of you people and all the people that are showing us support. And and once again, thank you for all of the opinions this week, because I know that I've missed loads out. We could have talked about this for weeks. So we will probably be coming back to this subject.
Oh, we will be. Yeah. And we just touched on, you know, the area of sex. We didn't even stray into, you know, assault and, you know, gratification and all this sort of thing. It was just purely about, you know, normal everyday sex, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even going to ask Tony what he thinks that is.
When we're at Nottingham, I shall show you.
Oh, no.
I've got a number of videos on my phone.
50 Shades of Human Centipede, that's what it is. Where can people find us online, Tony?
Ezohyz is my Twitter handle, because that's what the cool kids call it. You can get me on the CB radio in the same name as well. And I'm in the view section at Down the Tubes at the moment. Got quite a few things. But please go and read John's piece on Steve Dillon. Really, really nicely written.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'll go check that out.
Dan.
Yeah, cool.
My Twitter handle is Dan@VanguardComic, and you can read Vanguard@VanguardComic.com. Cool. It's coming to the end of issue 12. I really need it to come and be done.
You got loads of projects on the go as well, haven't you?
I'm kind of going to get this done.
I saw another one today you're going on about, which is quite a big one.
Yeah, I've a couple of people have been sending. I'm really grateful, pleased that people send me kind of DMs and you want to get involved in this project. But I literally, there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
So, gotta say no to some, even though I'd love to say yes.
You're a yes man, Dan. That's what we always say about you.
That's why me getting up at 5 a.m. working as a yes. That's the yes man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, me
don't
too.
Say yes to too many fucking things.
Yeah, I get half an hour on the train on the way into work to write. Yeah, know the feeling.
Shit. Yeah. So I sometimes see you up and like it's 4:30 and it's like fucking hell, Tony.
Like, you're never far behind me.
True. Yeah, but you're usually on a train, and I'm sitting here in my dressing gown.
Oh, you text me when you're doing a dump in the morning. I get a feeling you are sometimes.
Look, folks, right, if you don't want to listen to someone either rant or talk about their toilet subjects, you can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo.
Oh, you're so adult.
And it was someone has to be. And if you want to know more about my comic, go to theredmarsfrommars.com. And Steve, you angel, you patient man.
Yeah, thanks for...
yes, I am.
Where can people find you online?
At BanalPig is my Twitter username, and banalpig.com is my extremely old and not been updated website for a long time. And, you know, that's... You can find me from there. Or just Google Banal Pig or Untitled Dave, and you'll see stuff about Planet of the Apes 3 and other stuff.
So, yeah, buy some art from Steve. I bought some cracking pieces, and they're great value. I've got a recreation of a Batman cover in front of me, actually, on the wall here. Really good stuff, yeah. So.
Nice.
And come and check you out at Thought Bubble, obviously.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, come and see me.
There you go.
Cool.
Now, thank you for listening, folks. And from Steve, Dan, Tony, and myself, have an amazing week, as always. Stay sexy. And as always, well, I had to finish on a high. Do you know what I mean?
You didn't even ask if anyone had had sex whilst listening to the show, which was a question I kept telling you to ask.
Let us know, folks. Tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. There you go.
Oh, my phone's going.
Oh, no, sorry. There you go. Have a brilliant week, everyone. And as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I didn't bring my whistle for the amusing sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to put in a bed of sexy music while we're doing the sex talk.
You can put whatever you want in your bed, Dan.
That's already got me going.
Oh, yes. I'm halfway there. Oh, paint me like one of your French girls, Dan.